Hello, welcome to Fish Talk, a call-in show about fish on the Kuskokwim. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur, and here to translate the show into Yupik is Mr. Peter Acek.
Unok tarm tuyurluti im manawan nakhnangkannat kamtang manna im nitnawukut mani kuskokwim kuigani. And Rose MacArthur kawai kanhtok tali lugui lukakak. Pitaach khamtun gata piyugun gataach khamtun mumigutche kamche, koyana.
And today on Fish Talk, we're going to talk about all the state and federal regulations that have come down on the Kuskokwim recently and what fishermen can expect for the season ahead. Joining me in the studio to explain these regulations is Aaron Potter with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
Yeah, good morning.
And Ken Stalnecker with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
Ukukchawaniha makan ila ila gautukukwanihuna Aaron Patrak ukukuta Alaska Department of Fish and Game ki unakhlun chalechu Ken Stalnakaruna mskulukhtun ki unakhluni.
So what do you want to know about when and where you can fish and what gear you can and can't use? Let's talk about it here on Fish Talk. Join the conversation by calling in. If you're in Bethel, the number 543-5985 or 543-2756. If you're outside Bethel, toll free
1-800-995-8954. KYUK, Chaleaipa 543-2756, Washoka 1-800-995-8954.
Okay, so I have this stack of press releases here from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and they've all been issued in the last few weeks. Each announces new regulations or regulations. Let's get into them. The big news is that there is a fishing opening this Saturday, the first gillnet fishing opening of the season.
Yeah, so that's correct. On Saturday for a 12-hour period from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., in the Kuskokwim River main stem within the Yukon Delta Refuge boundaries, there'll be an opportunity for folks to fish their 4-inch or smaller mesh gillnets. Gillnets have to be 60 feet or smaller in length, no more than 45 meshes in depth, and they need to be within 100 feet of the ordinary high water mark. The reason we're doing that is to provide folks an opportunity to catch some fresh fish, and attaching those nets to the bank will hopefully keep folks from incidentally harvesting Chinook salmon, which is what we're trying to protect right now to allow them to move into the Kuskokwim River system before we really start getting after some subsistence opportunity.
And so let's cut to the chase here of where on the Kuskokwim can you fish and where on the Kuskokwim can you not fish?
Okay, so there's a suite of regulations and restrictions that the Alaska Department of Fish and Game put into place to start the subsistence season beginning May 20th from the Kusko river mouth to our fish and game markers just upstream of Tuluksac. We closed that section of the main stem, Kuskokwim River, to subsistence fishing. And the reason we did that was part of the Board of Fisheries mandated early season closure to protect for the protection of king salmon. Some specific salmon-bearing tributaries were also closed to gill netting to help move those fish into their spawning grounds. But non-salmon tributaries like the Gweek and the Johnson and Gaelic are still open for subsistence fishing with ostensibly no restrictions there. That early season closure will roll on in 5-day increments. So starting today, the area of the main stem between Tuluksac and the refuge boundary at Aniak will close to subsistence fishing, for gill netting anyway, and then again reopen on the 27th, and then 5 days later, Aniak to the Halitna, and then 5 days after that, Halitna to the headwaters. During the gill net closure, we're still allowing opportunities for people to subsistence fish with beach seines, fish wheels, hook and line, dip nets, with the requirement of live releasing any Chinook salmon that they catch.
And
Chalapta pichakan tamse awatin na nani mai ko via yung kanshat ni chalisu nani so nani umugo matkok watin kok May 20 mi umuskat mani kuskok pag mi ma kuskok him im ma paingan ng kaya't tulik sa kamon tawas tawam kok ako ni im ikiniyakto ko Sweet Hatni Tamakuta Nakat Tarayakfita Tamani Kuvia Yugnatu, Kuvia Yugnachikuta, Kuvia Yugnakau, Tamani, Channing, Channingato Nakling Pius Hopkinga, Im Chief Chiungata, Tamani, Tawamkakuta, Im Kursakvik to Katamakutum Rumbata, Kuicharong Rumilite, Chalito, Tase Mani. What May 20th, Umschot Ogenhpak, May 25, Gagen, Dusk Sarmung, Anjaramun, Umumakatok Mai, Umka Umuktok Mai, Talisu, Tasiman Irnat Nakatachel Tawak, and Anjaramun Kawavata, Hulit Namun, Tamana Chalum Kluni.
Okay, so today on the 25th, is there new regulations, there are new restrictions going into place?
So on today, from the ADF and G boundaries at Tuluksac, river markers at Tuluksac, up to the refuge boundary at Aniak, the closure to subsistence fishing on the main stem of the Kuskokwim River will go into effect. And again, that's a gill net fishing closure. And as mentioned earlier, other live release type gears, beach seines, fish wheels, dip nets, hook and line. We're still allowing people to fish for subsistence with those other gear types, but again, requiring the live release of king salmon at this time.
Yeah. Chal one kanhtok chaning atokuyungasketing naksoksutning mayum gumakok gagna tulksagaman and yagamun tagwam kokakuning kaluning wasoka manakaluki mapiyuk nga takom kok takay kwan pitak pitakam ayak si takaw ay kok agman ako tasata tuyong at si kato masat nakat.
Okay, and we have a caller on the line. We have John calling from Bethel. Hi, John.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. What's your fish question?
I'd like to talk to Myron.
We don't have a Myron here, but we have Aaron Potter from
Aaron. Okay. I thought I heard Myron.
Okay.
Really sounded like Myron, too.
Okay. What's your question?
But I'd like to talk Myron up. I'm going to go to the next one. Hung good at the money, $1.50 a pound king and fish price at two zero chair, you two zero chip at have a good day.
That was John. His concern is that he's been hearing about on the news and media that the fish that are being sold at this time, I don't know where, he didn't say, but they're being sold for extremely high prices some place, you know, and that's going to drive people crazy, you know, people here, you know, whenever they have an opening, it's a very low price, you know, maybe $1.50 per pound or less, you know. And now he's asking, can Fish and Game play or be a part of the regulating the how much fish can be sold for?
Yeah, John, thanks for that question. You're right. Currently, you know, fisheries in the Copper River that are happening the last couple of weeks, the first fisheries that occur, some of that, the market really loves those first fresh salmon to hit, and they typically again fetch quite the high price on the market. Our fisheries are a little bit later, and I think what you end up seeing is the fisheries that occur a little bit later after the market is starting to see some fresh fish or a little bit higher volume type markets don't necessarily fetch the same price on the market that those earliest fisheries do. It's typically not the role of the department to really get involved with, and I don't even know if we really could get involved with helping to, normalize the price for fish or try to influence the market in any way possible. You know, we ultimately try to provide opportunity when we identify harvestable surpluses, and if there's a market available, the processors and those people buying the fish will have a much better handle on what the market is and what the they're going to be able to buy fish from the fishermen for. So typically the department really doesn't have anything to do with that.
Tali sokan to quatin Satuka makut kasun a king katamatum chalank chali juito chali to tawatin ilago chutni lutin kasun a king katning Tagom humakut nakling pitul rit naklingata kuchitul ritun natul ritu tamana tamatum a ki katkas atamak.
Thank you. Thank you, John, for calling in. If you'd like to join the conversation, if you're in Bethel, call 543-5985. If you're outside Bethel, it's toll-free 1-800-995-8954. And we have Howard calling in. Hi, Howard.
Yes, I'm calling from Bethel. The restrictions that we have here on this custom in the Yukon, do they have restrictions in the southeast and Copper River too?
Yeah, Howard. Again, Aaron with Fish and Game. Thanks for that question. Yeah, no. Each fishery will be approached in a slightly different fashion, depending on fish availability forecasts and our information going into the season. Regulations and restrictions will change in season as well, based on our assessment and how the fisheries are progressing, and making sure that we have sustainable fisheries throughout the season and in perpetuity. But again, each of those fisheries are looked at on an individual basis, and inappropriate approach is taken based on what we know of those runs and what our expectations are.
Okay. My second question is, there's restriction on us about even settling fish or even eating fish for self-use, is there the same regulations for those areas too for fishermen?
Yeah, so again, there may not currently be restrictions on subsistence fisheries elsewhere in the state. We're looking specifically at our understanding of Kuskokwim River Chinook salmon returns, which is why we're in a time of below average returns. We're rebuilding the king salmon run at this point, and subsequently we feel that there does need to be some restrictions in order to achieve our escapement and harvest for king salmon on the Kuskokwim. That may not be the case anywhere else. Again, it really depends on the local understanding of those areas' fisheries. So, the one thing that'll get us out of these restrictions is more fish. And that's just the brass tacks of it. And as long as we continue to be diligent in our conservation efforts and through the sacrifices that are being made by subsistence users to forego harvest during the time frame when they normally catch king salmon, normally fish for king salmon, and put them up for the winter, I think that diligence will be paid off in the next couple of seasons, and I think we'll be hopefully getting back to a little bit semblance of normality.
Okay.
Hold on, Howard. I want to give Peter a chance to jump in here and translate.
Okay.
Una up to Howard akmak mam tres khum awani khuqa asani im malik taqut qutut khuqa nqsulkhkatnin qalpital gam umkiwa watn maikh pakkhuq tamakut asat alakhqutaitut chal mani khuqtam kusqhuqfarmi makut mak tamakut gatta qailun gatta pilkhkatnin mai tamana taqutimmaq chalilu im watnrang naqsarnrang naqlutin im kuvyalrit awani im malik taqutatnilukit chal taqwam khuqwatn watn gan qitgatu amlkhi qatallu mani chali makut malik taqut kaput watau kittalkhillamaana ikkhli chequt neqitkhu neqqaallun khu amlkhittalkhitning neqitmaana tamaana ataammaq watn chali qanqunni laqluni watn wankutakhu aqulaqittalput mana ikaayurpaagu khu watn neqitaamlkhiinallkhkatning tibulumtni.
Okay, Howard, did you have another question?
Yes. If they have a low count here, how do you know if the high seas is not taking that fish that's coming to the Kuskokwim or the Yukon?
Yeah, that's another good question and topic that comes up very frequently out here is the high seas bycatch. Currently, the way the pollock fishery is regulated, there's a three system index that takes Chinook salmon returns from the Kuskokwim River, the Yukon component of the Canadian component of the Yukon return, and the escapements from the Unalakleet River, and looks at those in combination to set bycatch threshold limits. So if it's if that total return is above a certain number, the bycatch limit is a little higher. If it's below that, then it's more restrictive on that. That was something that was put into place a few years back, and that's how they're looking at that at this point. There is 100% fishery observer coverage on those boats. out there, and my understanding is that genetics are being collected on all the Chinook that are caught as bycatch, so that we can understand where they're destined for. So we're collecting as much information as we can on that one to try to, you know, continue to have a handle on what's happening out there.
I got one more question. That's about it, and I want to listen in the rest. When they get that fish as bycatch, do they sell it as you know, regular fish they're selling? And I'll listen in on the radio from now on. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for all your questions, Howard. I don't have the answer to that question.
Oh, what in Charlie? I'm gonna mark and mark this from Carl Howard up the Akuninga Unani im su im Unani imakpimiga tamakut naksutul kitin tamakuninga Kaisen Kuk tamakut bit that Charlie Suka im. Im chungi yachtut mai il lot niange takut tuno tamakut chugvreluki chaning pitalche chaleisu chakut makut nakat natmuna ayal ganing pitalche chala watin swapta tau unangsing koka tamakut tuno naito tamakut unane imakpimi kuvetulgit kiwa umerinam watin sinuktamana naslo.
You're tuning in to Fish Talk, a call-in show about fish on the Kuskokwim. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Today, we're talking about all the state and federal regulations on the Kuskokwim currently. Join the conversation if you're in Bethel by calling 543-5985 or 543-2756. Outside Bethel, you can call toll-free 1-800-995-8955. So we also have in the studio with us Ken Stalnecker with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. So currently the Kuskokwim king salmon fishery is under state control, but on June 12th, it's going to switch to federal control. So Ken, can you talk about that? Why is the switch happening? What does that mean?
Sure. Thanks. So the reason that the fishery will be switching over the Chinook fishery on June 12th is that based on the regulations that the Fish and Wildlife Service, or actually all the federal land managers in Alaska, follow the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act, otherwise known as ANILCA to most folks, in times when there is a shortage or a conservation concern for a subsistence species, and in this case, that's Chinook salmon, where the projected run size is not adequate to provide for your necessary escapement and meet your historic subsistence needs, then the ANILCA requires that we provide a priority of use for federally qualified rural residents of the Kuskokwim area in this case. So that situation is presenting itself this year, where in our estimation, looking at the numbers, we are concerned, and plus the fact that we are in a recovering period for Chinook salmon, rebounding from some of the lowest numbers that we've seen, and approaching the fishery this year from a conservative standpoint. We are taking the step, or have taken the step, to, again, beginning the 12th of June, restrict the fishery to all users, and then after that we will be providing opening harvest opportunities for Chinook salmon for those federally qualified users. And we're undertaking this in very close consultation with the Intertribal Fish Commission and the state of Alaska. And as most folks know, the Intertribal Fish Commission is a body that was formally put together to represent the tribal interests on the Kuskokwim River. So we're working in close coordination with them in making these decisions and deciding this management approach.
Up the una asap asauna im maskulutnur king una kato ken im ilum kok by watin June 12th ami ya can state among ukutunanga angoitun mana ayakchikoka matum wato unkutkamta tamana angayokilrit tali lukoka mai khok makut nakit ikhlata ikhlkhota makut ta tagayaq fitaqchaqqalu ki tamana tawat nuk peqata llat utni lagaut tu ta llatun tamana manalakhut kat qalnlu kuvia kuvia ju malkhaput mana tamana llatna ta macheqo chali lu watn federally qualified atuqtnun wankutaga yugni mani witalgani Charlie Sumani, Mani got the wheat at all in it, talking on a clarani man, Taman and Katamakut, Pit Kluki, Pitach Hamston, Pugantach Hamston, Tamak Tika, Nakluki, Pichikait, Charlie Su, June 12th for me, what in him, Umwomas had set Nuna at a Marik Chiroka, Makunun.
And we have a caller on the line. We have David calling from Tuluksak. Hi, David.
Yeah.
Hi, David. What's your question?
I have something to say, but I'll talk in Yupik.
Okay.
Fish were picked up while in the park in a bush, but luckily this hook. We got the Tamakamta and Kalikalitan toy. National Radio could marketing could palok that. Chapo think that Maksu Chi got still looting. Kakaritin supis chiga natin. Tawang psuk chiga natin. Ukutwa ni huilak ng pitus sa kamit kan at lakayakan ka doon na fish were ka pitik siko. Fish were ma fish khanran ka tao na chap khanran ka kwik. Pag nakuli nakang ksoy rotok. Pichuluni sik sukuluni pifkanan. Tawang pichuluni. Kan-kanak tuwa tusutok kuchiw labut liz ngalrit sain testaron rilingu tawang nasuk na kut. Matum nakam pasuk nunum kay nga sasu. Tam kan tusut pag na ang liyakak hilu ku kumla. Kumlam makha kaspot. Tao na ko ni maintak taon lingran at kafsa ko maintak. Kul maintak tao na tao naklitus ko. Tao magpakot kuy gitamak kamang kuy gitwan itakayak kay tang liyakak kay. So down a fish work, we are shaken rita, kashaken ritla, kanashan rilam ku tang lam ku. O din krowat. Nuna mana ichnia rakan rita, tawam pagan at kaskot, kuigot, kuigot, itakto, itakan rit. Nashan ritut so tau kut kasadun kantil rit. Pichu kaukuna, kaukutsungu wakun kanrut ksakat. Ka umang rat ni pinganapik na si Kertok at tam nakling siya. King ang kanak kay tam sang good morning na kalagi. Ni chugnil rin ni chugnil in riling rata tao kutsu tamas kuit. Bye.
Kuyana David Tulksagmiku. David from Tuluksa calling, he mentioned that his dad used to take him out fishing, you know, up in the Tuluksak River, and then there used to be a whole lot of fish, you know, back then. And then he mentioned also about the beavers that blocked the rivers where the fish to go spawn, and that the fish cannot pass these beaver dams, you know, and therefore, you know, he mentioned also that because of these dams and the fish where, you know, there is a whole lot of fish, you know, down below the dams and the fish where. And, you know, since the fish where was, you know, been up on a Tuluksak, there's no more fish above there, you know, hardly any fish above there. Now, he also mentioned that, you know, the fish go spawn where the cold water is, you know, which is above the weir, and that below there's a lot of fish, you know, below there, you know, below the dams and the fish weir that are trying to deposit their, you know, their eggs. He said, you know, maybe it's time to close that fish weir, that he don't like, you know, what it's doing.
Thanks for that, David. That we do hear that concern raised. A couple things that I can say on that, and I definitely appreciate the concern. The telemetry information that we gather, and this is from fish that have transmitters attached, and they're used as a method to track where they go and what kind of return we get to the spawning ground. What we're finding with those data are that the fish actually are maneuvering their way through the weirs and upriver. We haven't seen incredible situations where the weir seems to be stopping the movement of the fish. The weirs do provide very valuable information for us when it comes to determining the management strategies for fishing, particularly in terms of being able to measure the strength of a run and come up with a forecast for the following year and so forth. So it does kind of become a balance of there are very important pieces of information that can come from that, but also we recognize that there is some concern from folks about the way that might impact the movement of fish. So we're trying to take all that into consideration and balance our approach.
Give yachtok what and tamak took the money, Benny Aguna fishware, canot, tusk sermi, ta chali so asat, tamak took amshrinning im nasun ritu took some amshrinning at the market not chart, not munayas rit was so gas, ekis rit was so amshrit, chali so market took. What nasun rera kamhtki makut tau imma ikajut totko kotn kaisun pitskat ning slait makut nakat kas ayuk slitning wasoka tipnil slitning wasoka ka talisu malik takut kan takut valu tamakunen koka chokvitut kuyalutin tali what tamatung pukslapnen.
And we have another caller on the line. We have a caller from Queefluk. Hello.
Yes. Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pigatuk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pigatuk.
Yeah.
Need to come. Yeah.
Ivan from Kuikluk says he's been hearing a lot of talk about these Chinook and the Kings, you know, on the Kuskokwim River, you know, and then that we are being regulated so much that we, you know, we fish a whole lot much later than what we had normally had fished during, you know, during the early time when the drying season is good. And he's talking also about the bycatch, you know, that the trawlers and those fishers along the ocean, you know, fish for. And that years back, you know, he remembers that there used to be a lot of chum bycatch, you know, by these trawlers and people that fish before they come into the Yukon and Kuskokwim rivers, you know, and that there was a big problem after that, you know. But now that they started regulating them and started, you know, the fish are starting to come back, and then that there's a little bit more year by year as, you know, as the regulations to the trawlers are being implemented. And he also mentioned about the beaver dams are hindrance, you know, to the fish, not just the kings that we're so concerned about, but also the other fish, you know, even the smallest, the blackfish that we rely on, you know, for subsistence around here. And that, you know, soon, I mean, there's a lot of other fish besides just the king, you know, and then that we should not be talking so much about the fish, you know, because in the past, I guess, you know, it's been like when people talk too much about a certain game or fish or that, you know, it's kind of hard to explain, but, you know, some things do happen, like maybe reduction or the fish or whatever we're talking about starts to decline or move somewhere else.
Ken or Aaron, would you like to take that one?
Yeah, this is Aaron with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. And, you know, it brings up a lot of really good points. Just about, you know, it really, to me, it really drives home just how dynamic salmon fisheries are with their, you know, their life history, the fact that they go out to the ocean, grow up before they come back, the habitat requirements of salmon, what they are. Beavers are actually shown to provide a lot of really excellent rearing habitat for small salmon before they go out to the ocean. So that's not necessarily a bad thing. But just all of the interactions and hurdles that salmon have to overcome in order to live their lives, to reach their potential and come back and spawn. There's a lot going against them right from the beginning. And I actually really appreciate hearing that he's recognized how some of the changes to management plans of other fisheries come across as beneficial to what we've seen on the Kuskokwim and Yukon rivers. And I definitely think that speaks to the regulatory bodies hearing from the users that they would like to see more changes and what they can be done, that these are extremely important resources to everybody, especially the folks of this region, and that they're willing to work with everybody to try to make things better. So thanks for those observations.
And we have another caller. We have John calling from Nunapichuk. Hi, John.
Kanik sang kusirut ka nasik sukum Maria, Kuska Fokaman, Tarek Fitzua. Toi Kitara Tonga, Kim Kiwatu Tonga. Makamaganokisut and Talis Poksam Yaragani, Kanik Satlam, Pilagin Pagnamka. Baloktatu Tamakuta, Taputata. Kain istigat, kain istigat natin na. Nakatsupsuk siga na kirin ehtulrit na ni Kuy Sarn Tama niya. Kusko kimawaya niya. Amos nila kat baloktat sa putat. Tama ko tamaya. Ampitong suki si Pinariya kata. Doya. Matuma, makrama, amasak sa ngama, magkali na kita, amasak as yung tigat kaya kung nakamatum na sini, ako kutiyula at kalahat sa titi mga mga, maasua, mawis sa muli na katukso kami ya, kinuksit magkita, June, July, I'm going to be a little bit of 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 a little bit Ayak yoni khani tiulig na kani si pinnehti tiyak ku tiulig na putta. Pichet ng kalakhtin na kitutta. Makaman na khani ya nakat makutta nunakka ta silra. Toi.
Kuya na chaklak jaan akut kanlakht na si kapikhtuta. John Berlin from Nunap is an elder that's been around for a while and he knows a lot about surroundings and fish. And he's observed a lot. And he's saying about that, you know, he follows what the ancestors have told him and what he learned from them. And that, you know, he's just reiterating what he learned from the ancestors, that the fish are very much dependent on the water. Low water can affect the fish. You know, he said last year and this year, you know, we have extremely low water. And then there's, you know, hardly any snow upstream or above, you know, hardly any more snow, snow melt. You know, when that snow melts, you know, it raises the waters up. But that has, we haven't seen that for a couple of years or so now. And then it all, he also mentions that the waters are getting warmer. Warmer, you know, upstream, you know, than before, that the water warms quicker or earlier than in the years past, and then that these beaver dams, you know, when there used to be a whole lot of water, then you know it would go over the beaver dams and let some of the fish loose or you know out. But that doesn't happen anymore, that the dams are, there's because of low water, the dams are definitely a hindrance to the, you know, fish spawning and mentioned also that, you know, fish cannot go over the dams anymore because of the low water, and that maybe it's time to destroy the dams or do something about them. And that he also mentioned that during fall time, June and July, you know, there will be a lot of rain. And then that will bring the water levels up, you know, on the rivers in Cusco and Yukon, you know, and then that when that rises, you know, when the water rises, you know, then like the silvers run next, you know, and then the silvers are no more plentiful than he ever seen before.
Thanks, John. Appreciate the observations. Those are great. Definitely the low water situation this year has a lot of us thinking and wondering, and we'll definitely be paying attention to that situation. And I think, again, your observations related to that are going to be helpful for us. It'll help us key in on keeping an eye on that and seeing how it might affect the situation. And the best we can do at this point, I think, is hope for the rains to come and raise those water levels.
And can anyone address warmer water that he brought up?
Yeah, so Aaron with Fish and Game again. As far as king salmon go, I don't think we've really seen much of an effect on their migratory patterns when it comes to water temperatures specific to the Cusco. And what we've seen in the last few seasons, they've still come in approximately when we expect them to. Slight variations there. Coho salmon, silver salmon, definitely seem to be much more affected by water temperatures, and that's it's a keen observation that something that we look for as well, that in the fall time, once the water's low and a little bit warm, when we get a good storm roll through and bring the water levels up, potentially drop the temperature just a couple of degrees, those silvers tend to push in mass at that point. And yeah, great observations. Appreciate the information.
And it seems like beaver dams are a concern. I know we had a couple callers last week bring up the same issue, and John just asked, is it time to destroy the beaver dams? Can someone address that?
Well, like I mentioned a little bit earlier in the show, beaver dams actually do provide really excellent rearing habitat for coho salmon. It sounds like the observation is that we're seeing, really good coho runs relative to what John has seen in the past. And could that be because the beavers are creating more rearing habitat for coho salmon? There's definitely a connection there. I know Unit 18, YK, Delta area has got a pretty liberal season and bag limit for beavers. So they could... I don't necessarily advocate, going in and, destroying good rearing habitat for salmon by destroying beaver dams, but maybe looking at the individual beavers themselves and, maybe something could be done there.
And we have Fritz Charles on the line calling from Bethel. Hi, Fritz.
Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. What's your question?
Oh, doing good. Couple of comments. Ken and Aaron know me for quite some time now, and I'll translate it after I speak in English. The high seas fisheries, I've been talking about that every year, the high seas fisheries, and I don't know what we can do about that. The high seas fisheries, and the other thing is the back before our time, must have been at least 60, 70, 80 years ago, we sometimes hear it from some of our elders. Back then, there was hardly any people around here. And Greg used to always remind us of this during our meetings. Back then, there was probably the longest net you probably seen was no longer than 75 feet, 50 feet. And it was all homemade. And with water, or not water, homemade buoys, floaters. And it was, 15, 20, if that, meshes deep. And people out here rarely fished for kings. We finally started fishing for kings, but 30, 40 years ago. And, you know, it's majority of the people are disagreeing with me because they don't like to listen to the elders and our ancestors of what the truth is. Let me translate that first. Gawani tulem ta manna kuvyashat ashmakni kuvyali tushut nilakh gunate atita chitu ikhanta nani napi kuvyatu am shagmi yu inak malhu kakhnaka chipi naksai tlashut yu tsu ikhanata I just said that these rules and regulations are put in place because nowadays there's so many people out here now, and with longer nets and high-powered boats, that we can get to our fishing spot within a matter of minutes. Back then, they used to fish wherever they can. It would probably take them days to go out fishing and then come back with some catch. That'll be it for now. Thank you.
Yeah, Fritz, Aaron Potter with Fish and Game. Thanks for your comments, and definitely thank you for your participation and perspective in all the working group meetings that you've been a part of, and really do wish you can continue on with that. You know, you're 100% right. The efficiency of the legal gear these days, the abilities for folks to fish in, to get to fishing locations very quickly, extend their fishing range, if you will, by the efficiencies in the boats that people have. It really, really has changed the face of subsistence. You know, especially during times of low abundance like we're in right now. You know, on the flip side of the coin, if we've got more Chinook salmon than we know what to do with, then, you know, where's the harm in people being able to put up exactly what they need and providing for other opportunities? But, you know, it is a challenge for sure, and that's something that, you know, the working group, the state, the Intertribal Fish Commission, federal government all face is trying to balance out that opportunity with what we, you know, might be appropriate as far as harvest and trying to reach our escapement goals and making sure that we put all the pieces together. And so, you know, that's where I really do encourage everybody and to have an opportunity to, you know, you really can, as individuals, make a difference in this fishery, be that through your participation in the fishery itself, you know, being in compliance with the time and area and gear restrictions, or through bringing your unique perspective in our public process, in our salmon management working group for the state meetings. You know, we have a people to be heard section, and, you know, folks, if you really feel strongly or have a perspective that you don't feel is getting provided to the management agencies. I strongly encourage everybody to call in, and would like to hear your voice to help help us manage the fishery in a hopefully a little bit better manner. Thanks, Fritz.
Ima kiwa or ilak to kwatin ilumun kwaw na kanskan na kuyaka chali so watin rato mai makut kuvieta tuski chali so makut chaskuit wasokang yatsu mai chukaluting yakfanuna yakiungakiluting chali mai makut malihtakut katrato mai chapnak nilukilini chalis makut kaisun rato malihtakut kat mat kuvia kuvet nakatrato tungit nun asingina sukigato pilkit wasok tamakut atuhtet nun chalis chali kuyuhtakam yani fish management meeting ani kuyuhtakam tamani kuk yugun ng nitungat tuta kinam cham kanakang kakuni ko ka kuyuk lakata ilot ni tawad ng kukpif katut kinayim na kanakayu milgan na magutung itong pilkat ng nitong atut.
Well, that's all we have time today for on Fish Talk. Thank you to everyone who called in. Thank you to Aaron Potter with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game and to Ken Stalnecker with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service for joining us, for answering your questions. Mr. Peter Achek, thank you for translating today. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. You've been listening to Fish Talk. Have a good day and happy fishing.